If I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow, and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go. This week, we're going to be looking at the events of Genesis chapter 13. So if you've got your Bibles or if you've got your phones, your tablets, your scripture memory in the back of your mind, whatever it is that you do to follow along, if you want to just read on the screen, that's fair too. But we're going to be in Genesis chapter 13. And we've been looking at the life and the times of Abraham, the father of our faith. In the person of Abraham, we see the relationship that God has with people changing. As God picks this family, God picks this people to be His chosen people. And as sons and daughters of God, as we just sang about, we have been grafted into this family. We have been looking at how in the life of Abraham, we see that how this change takes place, where God is choosing to hitch Himself to Abraham. Abraham doesn't earn it. Abraham doesn't achieve it. We have no record of Abraham doing anything other than being born and then God choosing Abraham. And we have walked through the first two major defining events of the life of Abraham while he was still even named Abram. We haven't even gotten to his name change yet. One that demonstrated incredible faith and one where faith was just too much. And Abram decided to go his own way and bet on himself. One where we see Abraham traveling 1,500 miles through the, or 1,500 kilometers through the desert on the leading of the Lord. And another one where Abram takes a 1,200 kilometer journey there and back to Egypt on his own word and on his own desire. And in Genesis chapter 13, we see Abram coming back. He's leaving Egypt and he's headed back into Canaan, into where God has called him to be. And so in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, we read this. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. So he leaves Egypt. The Negev is essentially a desert area just south of Canaan. So he travels up from Egypt through this deserty area on his way back, and he brings everything that he had with him coming out of Egypt, and his wife and his nephew go with him. Verse 2 says, Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and silver and gold. Now, last week we talked about how Abram became very wealthy. When he went into Egypt, he functionally sold his wife to Pharaoh in order to save himself, to save his life. And because of that, he accumulated great wealth while he was in Egypt. That Pharaoh lavished stuff upon him. And God performs an amazing miracle. And I want to stop and re-highlight this for you from our story last week. Because sometimes it's really easy to skip over these almost seemingly unstated miracles. But yet, there's these incredible moments. And in this one, where God performs this amazing miracle in his life, where instead of just killing Abram when everything came to light, when Pharaoh and his whole household got sick because of Abram and Sarah and their deception, God caused Pharaoh to just kick Abram out of Egypt. A huge miracle in and of itself. Pharaoh's kings of that time were not renowned for their self-restraint. They weren't renowned for being fair and just and being of a good mind. When Moses is born, the reason why they have to put him in a basket is because Pharaoh declares all the children should be killed. This is the same position that just lets Abram walk out of Egypt with all of his stuff. It's an incredible miracle. And that's the thing about some of the miracles that we see in our lives. Sometimes miracles don't always look like miracles. Sometimes the hand of God is at work in our lives, and it's not always the parting of the Red Sea. It's not always these incredible moments of like, we came to the edge of the sea and it parted and we're able to walk through on dry land and it becomes this amazing moment. Sometimes in our lives, it's seemingly something smaller, but at the same time, no less significant. God saving you from the lion's den, God saving you from the fiery furnace, that's a miracle. But God saving your life and your wife's life from an angry Pharaoh, that's no less of a miracle. It's just that it's harder to see sometimes. It's harder to see in our own lives when we're looking for the Red Sea and we get a different kind of miracle. But God didn't just save Abram's life. He didn't just allow him to get out of Egypt. God used all of the things that Abram had gained while in Egypt, even though it was gained in such a seemingly terrible way, God redeemed it. God made it right, and God uses it. And we see that there's nothing that we can go through in our lives that God cannot use. This was a rough time and a rough moment in Abram's life, as most of us would imagine. As he makes this decision, we're going to go to Egypt because I think we can be safe there. And then everything just spirals out of control, and his wife ends up being lost to him and all of this stuff. And yet God brings it all back. God redeems it, and God uses it. Can you hear the gospel in that? Can you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in that? That we come in our own stories, we come with all of our stuff, all of our baggage, all the things that we've done wrong, and God somehow redeems it. And God somehow uses it. And our stories that can be full of so much pain and heartbreak and struggle, God uses those things, he redeems them, and he uses us and he redeems us. It's an incredible picture of the gospel. And so Abram returns from Egypt with his family, a very wealthy man. And eventually Abram and his family settle down in an area and look to begin their life there. But problems start to bubble up. They start to crop their head up. Most notably an issue between Abram and his nephew Lot, or at least the people that work for them. In verse 5 it will say, "Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herds and Lot's, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time." The wealth that they had accumulated in Egypt, that God had blessed and redeemed and allowed them to have, was beginning to cause a problem. There wasn't enough space for it all. Last week we talked about how he got sheep and cattle and camels and all of these things. There wasn't enough grass. There wasn't enough to support all that they had in this area. Space was becoming a problem. Abraham had lots of stuff, and Lot had lots of stuff. And all their stuff was just bumping into each other. It was getting crowded. The elbow room was getting more difficult to find, and there was just, it was just getting uncomfortable. Their cattle was trying to graze at the same spaces. Their servants and people were trying to live in the same space, and it was becoming more difficult to try and live in the same space, and life was beginning to get messy. Your circumstances are not your solution. Every season of life presents challenges. The last time that Abram and Lot were living in this land, a huge challenge was presented to them in the form of a famine. And now here they are, back again, and a new challenge has been presented. And it has to do with the land and its ability to provide. But this time, it's not a season of lack. It's not the famine causing the problem. It's a season of blessing, a season of abundance that's causing the problem. When Abram sat in the middle of the famine trying to decide what to do, this would be his dream. Imagine all we need is just, if we had cattle and we had sheep and we had stuff that we could provide for ourselves, if only we could have these kinds of things, but we're not going to get them here. We need to go to Egypt. And now here they are back in the land, and they've got all the stuff that they would have wanted, but what you find out is that your solution doesn't lie in a change of your circumstance. Often in life, we think that if this issue, whatever it is, was just resolved, then I'd really be able to make a go of things. If I could just figure out a way to make more money. If I could just get a new job. If I could just have my wife see things the way that I do. If I could just get past this addiction in my life. If I could just take care of this one thing. If my circumstances were to just change, then the next season of my life, it would be no problem. Because all my problems would be dealt with. If Abram could just have some more stuff to provide for himself, everything would be fine. Except we discover that he's got more stuff and there's still problems. The Apostle Paul will deal with this issue when he will say this. Barb, my thing is not working. There we go. Now it's working. I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether lying in plenty or in want. The seasons of your life are not going to provide your salvation. The circumstances you find yourself in are not going to be your answer. Every season, every circumstance is going to have its ups and downs. Paul doesn't say, I've learned the secret to being content, to just have lots. Then I'm content. I've learned the secret of contentment. Just have enough to make me content, and then I'll be content. But that's not what he says. The rock, the salvation, the answer to all of our contentment is not what we are facing, but how we are facing it and who we are facing it with. When all Abram had was famine, he would have longed for what he had now. If only I had money, if only I had resources and animals and servants and all of that, if only I had those things, then everything would be good and we could handle this. And now here he is with those things. And while famine isn't the issue, having all of the things is now the issue. And we can fall into this when we look at our circumstances and our seasons and say, if only that was different, then this would be better. But your circumstances are going to change. One day they will. Every season of life that you're in right now, one day you'll be in a different season. Everything that you're facing right now, one day you won't be facing it anymore, for good or for bad. Every season of life, every set of circumstances that you're in, they will change. But your circumstances are not your salvation. Your faith, your hope is in the change of your circumstance. If your faith and your hope is in the change of your circumstance, all you're going to find is now your circumstances have changed, and now this other thing, that's the problem. When Paul will say that he's become content in everything, do you know why he says he's come to that place? What Paul's secret is, how he can live like that? He will then go on to say, right after this verse, one of the most famous and quoted verses in all of Scripture, one of the most stood-on promises in Scripture, one of the things that we will say to each other consistently. He will say that I've learned to be good with nothing, and I've learned to be good with lots. I've learned to be good whatever my situation, because I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your circumstances are not your solution. Paul will say, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content with nothing or with lots because it's God who makes me content. Because I can exist in whatever situation I'm in because it's not my stuff that gives me strength. It's my God who gives me strength. And I can stand in the middle of nothing in a prison cell and I can rejoice in the Lord because it's God who gives me strength. It's not my stuff. It's not a change in circumstance. It's not somehow our circumstances changing. God wants you to be comfortable in the circumstances He has you in right now. That's what Paul will say. I've learned to be comfortable in everything. It's not to change where you are. It's not to change how you are, where you are. And it's not to just simply change our circumstance. But it's so that God can work through our circumstance. Jesus can work through whatever you are in right now, the season you are in. God wants you to be comfortable. You don't have to be okay with it. It's not somehow, Paul wouldn't have been okay with just sitting in a jail cell. But his recognition was, it's not just about where I find myself, it's who I find myself with. God doesn't want your heart to be just looking for something different. Because God has something for you right now, in the season you're in. And if all we're doing is looking at how we wish things could be, we might miss out on what God has for us now. We end up in our circumstances for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes they're from the Lord. Sometimes the enemy has influence in our lives. Sometimes we just make bad decisions. It's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. We just made a bad decision. And we end up in all of these different circumstances, and some of them are wonderful. Some of us are in incredible seasons of blessing, and some of us are in incredibly dark seasons of life. And there's all kinds of reasons for why we're there. But the reality is that wherever you find yourself, God has something for you. But Lot and Abram and all their stuff cannot continue how they are now. So they have a little meeting, and they get together. And Abram says to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herds and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Abram says to his nephew, pick a side. You just pick somewhere and you can have it. Now, this culturally is completely backwards. Abram was the patriarch, he was the head of the family, it should be his decision. But he defers to his nephew and just says, look, Lot, this isn't working, pick somewhere. You survey the whole land and you pick a spot, and wherever you go, that's fine with me, I'll go somewhere else. Of all of the times where Abram could have been selfish, this would be right at the top of the list. He was entitled to be selfish. Culturally, Lot was not able to make this decision. Abram, with his wife, his all of his stuff that he's just got back from the Lord, this is a moment to look and say, I'm the patriarch. I'm going to take the best land. Lot, you go to this other part of the country. Wherever I go, you don't go. And it's hard when you're given a choice to not pick the one that's best for you. When someone opens a box of donuts, you don't have to be taught to look for your favorite. If somebody comes to you and opens a box of donuts, and Stacy, they're gluten-free donuts, so you can even have one. You don't have to defer. But opens a box and says, pick one. You don't have to be taught to pick your favorite. If you go to somebody's house and they've got pizza, and you go to grab a piece of pizza, you don't have to be taught to look for the biggest piece with the most pieces of pepperoni on it or whatever it is that you like. You don't have to be taught to do that. It's just a natural instinct that when I looked at this box of pizza, one piece screened my name. It just so happened to be the biggest piece with the most pepperoni on it. But I don't know, it just spoke to me that I needed to. We don't have to be taught or conditioned to do that. We just know how to do that. And so if there's ever a time and a place for that instinct to kick in, this would be it. But yet Abram says to Lot, you pick. We're family, we shouldn't fight. You pick. So you just pick what you want, and I'm happy to take whatever you don't pick. And this moment stands in total opposition of what we talked about last week. Last week, Abram couldn't trust that God could come through for him. This week, Abram says, you pick, because I know God's going to come through. Look what he did in Egypt. He redeemed all of it. You pick, because it doesn't matter. God's going to come through for me. But now God has redeemed him from that decision, and now he stands in faith with what he cannot see, what he cannot touch. Last week we talked about Abram betting on himself, but now Abram knows you can't lose when God's on your side. Abram bet on himself and he lost everything until God gave him everything back. And this time, when faced with the choice of trusting God and his invisible promises and provision, or trusting his own self with what he cannot see and cannot ascertain, he doesn't bet on himself. He doesn't he puts the invisible above the visible because he knows that God has got him. Abram, after going through all that he went through in Egypt and seeing God's redeeming hand on his life, knows that whatever he has to face as the overflow of Lot's decision, God is going to take care of him. Later on in Genesis, we'll read the story of Joseph and how his brothers hated him so much that they threw him in a well to leave him to die, and then realized how wrong that was. Why just kill him when we could make money off of him? And so they still have him go away. So they sold him into slavery, and through a set of circumstances too unbelievable other than the Lord's hand in his life, he ends up in charge of all of the food in Egypt. When those same brothers come to Egypt looking for food because of a famine, Joseph is then put in a place where he has to decide if he should let his brothers, who thought Joseph's death was too basic a result for him, if he should let them die or give them food. And he says this to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And he goes on to love and care for his brothers. Joseph's brothers thought death was too light a punishment for Joseph. Abram ran off to Egypt instead of trusting God. And yet God worked through Joseph to make him the second most powerful man in Egypt, and he redeemed everything in Abram's life. See, you can't lose when God is on your side. In the moment, and for many moments, it may feel like you lost. Abram lost everything, even his wife. Joseph's life is the story of wrong things happening to him. He was thrown into a well to die. He was wrongly imprisoned. And yet, in the end, here they were. I don't know fully where all of you are today, but I can tell you this. I can promise you this. Whatever you're facing today, whatever the hurt that you've brought with you today, whatever the challenge you've brought with you today, God can redeem it. And when you trust in God, God will make good of it. Maybe you are sick today. Your sickness cannot beat you. Maybe you don't have a job. Your unemployment cannot beat you. Maybe you have a job and you hate your job. That cannot beat you. Maybe your marriage isn't working. That cannot beat you. Maybe your kids are killing you. That cannot beat you. Maybe you are addicted to something and that's robbing you of your life. That cannot beat you. Maybe your past and your present is so full of shattered dreams and expectations. That cannot beat you. All of these things are very, very real. And they all play a part in our stories and our lives in a very real and very powerful way. And I'm trying not to diminish any of them. Joseph knew that his brothers intended it for harm. He wasn't naive to what happened. And all of these things can be very harmful in our lives. But the point is that even in the face of these moments, perhaps some of the most difficult moments in our lives, God is going to take what may be meant to harm us, to hurt us, to tear us down, and He will give us and He will give you victory in them. As Abraham stood in this moment, knowing that Lot could pick for himself whatever he wanted, even if Lot picked all of the very best land for himself, that whatever Abram was left with, that couldn't beat him. For us today, for you today, if you're faced with a situation where you don't know how you can come out of this not beaten up, metaphorically or literally, trust in what Abram knew. Trust in what Abram saw in his own life. Trust today in the God in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God who was able to redeem Abram's trip to Egypt, and who Abram knew could carry him through wherever he ended up now, can carry you through where you are now and what you're about to be facing. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me up on the stage. Now, what happens? Lot chooses the best land for himself, the greenest, luscious, best land, the physical, visible, tangible best. But Abram, when Abram heads off, he gets God. Not physical, not visible, not tangible. He gets God's promises, God's provision, and God's faithfulness. Not physical, not visible, not tangible, but better than the best. As God reiterates for Abram the promise He made to him in the beginning, as Abram sets off from Lot, God speaks to Abram. And what He says is extraordinarily reminiscent of what He said a chapter earlier when He first called him. In fact, I'd invite you, as we read this, to then flip back a page to Genesis chapter 12 and see how God is re-promising to Abram everything. As He says to him, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted with him, look around from where you are to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. God was still God, and He hadn't walked away from Abram. And He was still working on and working for Abram. God is still God, and even today, whatever you are facing, whatever you're going through, He is still working on and working for you. And ultimately, you cannot lose with God on your side.
There is a mountain in between.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. Click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, @CSAirdrie on Twitter, and @CornerstoneAirdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
And on this altar, and on this road, I lay down my flesh and bones. And here on this mountain I have climbed, wrestling doubts that
flood my mind with ashes and dust are all that remain. We'll hope for the world still come from my veins. On this altar and on this road